everybody. Welcome to our very next installment to the Eyes of Qui-Goth campaign. It is our next session zero. So here we go. Today we have a twofer. We have our real life people of Denise and Anthony, who married in real life, are going to be playing married couple in the game. So we're starting off their session zero together. So Denise, yes. Introduce name, character, what's your class, race?
Okay. Her name is Lagatha.
Lagatha.
Brisbane. Like the city in Australia. Mm. She is a forest gnome.
Okay.
A rogue with a little bit of arcane trickster in her.
Okay.
She's about 3 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
Brown hair and eyes in the beginning.
In the beginning?
She had the brown hair.
Okay.
All right.
Is she moving toward not having brown hair now?
Correct. Her hair has changed through...
her experiences.
The experiences.
Okay, I love it.
Okay.
All right.
She grew up in the...
Hold on to that. Hold on to that. Just do your appearance for right now.
Okay.
Because we're going to start getting into all that
here.
Okay?
All right, so...
Okay, thank you. So, Lagatha, that's how you pronounce
Lagatha,
it.
Lagatha, yes.
Lagatha or Lagatha? So sorry, tell me.
Lagatha.
Lagatha, okay. That sounds good. All right, so then next up we have Anthony. Anthony, who are you playing?
I'm playing... Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Right.
Okay. How tall are you?
I'm 6'8".
6'8"? Jeez Louise. What race are you? You're human, right?
Yes,
you're
very.
Human. You're just big for a human.
Yes.
Got it. And I'm sorry, Lagatha, you said forest gnome, right?
I'm a forest gnome.
That's my favorite.
I love 3 feet tall.
I love being a forest gnome. How the hell does that, how do you guys make it work? Tell me. No, I'm just joking. Okay. All right, so now that we have that, let's get into our story. Mm-hmm. So, you guys have been through a lot. Your characters have been through a lot. Mm-hmm. And you have been through pain and loss together.
Yes. It's
brought you even closer. And you are living this kind of nomadic life right now, right? You are traveling and helping people. You've gotten stronger, more skilled, faster, quicker, or bigger, taller kind of thing. Each one of you developing your own skills. And supporting each other as you go.
Yes.
You've been traveling around your native country for a while, and without really talking about it, your feet have just led you guys home. Just back to your...
The village. Where the massacre occurred.
Yeah, there you go. And it's been years, right? So you're walking this way, and you haven't heard anything about what's going on. You haven't made it to the village, and then you kind of approach... this devastating scene where a large section of the forest that you guys called home has been decimated. Mm. The forest has been cut clean and there's only stumps left behind.
Okay, all the trees were cut down.
All the trees were cut down and it kind of looks like they've been cut down pretty fresh, and there's tracks of, it looks like carts that must have been taking the timber away. And you don't see any people, you don't see any animals, no birds, nothing. And it's shocking to you, and it's pretty upsetting. Mm-hmm. As you continue walking, you come to a village that you guys used to do trade in for a while. And you would often go there, and you did trade with the people there.
Okay.
Whatever you would forest in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, blankets and stuff like that.
Right, right.
So, as you arrive to this village, it used to be booming. Big trade village, full of people. And now it seems like there's an air of solemn in this village now. Mm-hmm. And where it used to be vibrant and full of food and life, there is just a solemn queue of people. And it looks like they're lined up waiting for rations.
Mm. Oh,
Is there anything you guys want to do when you first arrive?
Probably want to look for the mayor of the town.
Okay.
So since we used to go there a lot for trade and whatever, the like, he would probably know.
He would probably know what happened. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to continue down the road, and it looks pretty sad. And there is a woman who jumps out to you and not jumps, sorry, mm-hmm.
yeah.
but like a woman who walks over to you and recognizes you mm-hmm. and you recognize her, and she is somebody who you guys have done trade with, and she is so happy to see the both of you. She runs over to you. Mm-hmm. She kisses your cheeks. I had no idea you guys were still alive. We heard about what happened to the village mm-hmm. and we heard about everything. How did you escape? Are you okay? Do you know of anybody else who survived?
No one else survived. We went into the forest because mm-hmm. We were preparing for our wedding feast, so we were going, you know, that area right by the creek, off, okay. you know, to the northeast.
Yeah.
So we were gathering the nuts and fruit and all that, and we came back, and our village was gone. My parents were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in their house.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Just a few tufts of hair on some branches here and there.
And she just answers you. Her name is Annie.
Okay.
And she just answers you. That's so heartbreaking. We're so sorry. It's been very changed here as well.
What happened here?
So there was foresters came to the local things. Did you see the fields of the trees that were cut down?
Yes, yes.
All of our beautiful redwood, they came here to take all of this redwood for some reason.
Who did, though?
We don't know. They were foresters. They came from Cordova.
Came from that area. Mm-hmm.
So they came from Cordova. They were supposed to be coming, and they had paperwork from the king.
So they had instructions to come down here.
They had seals and all the right paperwork. We couldn't stand against them. They were protected by the guards that the king and the queen authorized all of the sell of this wood to Cordova. We don't know what it was really used for. I actually do have paperwork, and we were able to take a look at it. And she hands you documents. She hands you kind of like out of her breast pocket kind of thing, like that kind of image, because it looks as though she holds these tight because it's like it's like a vengeance for her too. You know, it's this anger that's kind of built up in this town.
Sure.
And she said that while they were here, a few of the younger kids stole some documents and I'm holding them here because I want to make sure that one day I get my own vengeance on them, because they just destroyed us. They took all of our food, all of our cattle. Nobody wants to come do trade with us anymore, and the little bit of rations that we get are barely enough to survive. And the king wants nothing to do with us, so we are just going to have to regroup and be on our own. But I guess we're used to that. And she does hand you these papers. This letter right here, and then she also hands you a document. This document right there. And then that's actually for you guys to keep.
Okay.
So I'll explain it to you. First, you see a love letter.
Yep.
From somebody named Sapphire saying, please meet me. Saying, please meet me at Petra on for my birthday celebration, how much she loves him, how they can't wait to be near each other, and just a romantic little note.
Okay.
So essentially, it is signed with the same name that's on a notice for delivery of the wood.
Of the wood.
So go ahead and read that notice of delivery. It says delivery address.
Barn Bear Farm, end of Summit Lane, Petra.
Okay.
Required by, must deliver a month from now before the new moon. The price, 3 million or more in gold, depending on the quality.
And wood must be red.
Huh?
The wood must be red, and it is signed red in color. Does it say that?
No.
Crap, mine is different. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
The wood must be red in color, and the papers are signed by...
Okay. And delivered before the new moon. And it is signed by Eldrin Thornwood.
Uh-huh. And the love letter.
And the love letter is addressed to my beloved Eldrin.
Yes. So now, with these two pieces of paper, you know that this guy is going to be in Petra at the new moon.
Right.
Delivering the wood.
So Petra is there, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
And she alludes to the fact that these are the people who raided your village. She flat out tells you they have struck such devastation in our area. They destroyed our village. They destroyed other villages nearby. They just took what they wanted, and because they had the king's blessing, mm-hmm. they did whatever they wanted.
No compensation.
Now, at this, you actually hear somebody in line who was overhearing it. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. The money that they are getting from the sale is going to come. Super optimistic. And at this point, you start hearing everyone kind of debating. The money from the sale is $3 million. We have mm-hmm. it right here in mm-hmm. the paperwork. So they kind of are trying to tell you, some people believe it's good for the country, some people do not. But they're conflicted in the village.
Right now, it doesn't look like it's good.
It doesn't look like it's doing any good at the moment.
Correct.
Was this Eldrin Thornwood present at the time they started?
He was the master forester. He was the one who ran everything.
He was physically present here while they were cutting down all the trees.
Correct. Okay. He is the master forester that was hired to run the whole operation.
Human.
He is a human man, mm-hmm. not as tall as you, Adam, but he's a human man, tall, blonde hair, very muscular, very tan. I would like to keep the letters just because if we don't see the money from this, I'm going to go to the king myself and ask for the $3 million. But you can keep the love letter, but I want the bill of sale.
Is there any way that you could make a copy of the notice of delivery? You keep the original, but I just want to have all this information on me when we travel.
Do you plan to travel there?
Well, yeah, I don't see why not, and see what the hell is, why do this, why devastate, why take all...
Yeah, we need some answers.
Exactly, some answers.
Okay. There is somebody in town who has paper and pen. We can write down some notes.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Not pen, but quill. You
are. Yeah.
Hey, leave me alone. So
I'm keeping a copy of this.
So you take a couple moments. They feed you from the rations. Mm. They give you some of their blessings and their native, you know.
Right.
And this is the closest you have felt to home in a very long time.
And this is where we're at, right?
You're actually a little bit more in this area because you're from the deeper forest down here. You're not really from the big city. Mm. This is more of like a huge city kind of thing.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, so like the capital of the country.
Right.
So right here, you're just kind of like in the forest area.
And that's the area that has gotten
ravaged.
Yeah, so she'll say that like this whole lake area, this has kind of been ravaged. And they took boats out toward the bottom, going toward the south, and then they're going to go up, over, and around.
Oh, that's
they're
going to
make this trip.
That's it, because they have to take all this wood by boat.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So, here you go. They give you all their blessing, all their love. They give you any rations they can, and they say, please let us know if you're able to get vengeance or find out anything, because we are heartbroken. Different type of heart, but definitely still
absolutely,
broken.
Absolutely.
I'm going to turn around and count the rations that they give me, and I'm going to give like 3/4 of them back to them. We don't need all of that.
We could skip.
We could survive.
Right.
We've been doing it for a while, and we'll continue. You need it. And if I can find any way when we get across to Cordova to try to get, for lack of a better word, an aid package.
Oh.
You know, like, just a food and medicines, we will do that.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds beautiful. Okay, I love that.
Because we don't, you know,
we don't need a lot.
You don't need a lot.
No, we don't.
Okay.
So,
that's
we're going to do
guys.
That.
I love that.
Now, I guess the only way out...
So, there you go. So,
is
this,
to go to,
this is a major port. You would be able to get boats going.
That's what I
thought.
We would be going this route. You would think we would be able to get there quicker, depending on when they left
them.
Doing this.
Yeah.
Just like Dracula.
So now
you guys, I don't see you guys really going to the big city a lot. Like you might have been there,
but I feel
like you guys were much more on the land kind of stuff,
yes,
like living on the land.
Survival.
So this is going to be I'm going to prepare to fast forward, right? But this is kind of like, it's a new experience for you.
Right.
You've never been at sea. You've never been on this big journey. No. This is big for you. But even though you both are scared and you both are a little worried, you are finally getting answers. You have a lead after all this time. You are ready to take this next step and get on a boat and travel. And you're ready for this. So I'm going to just fast forward you guys through it because we want to make sure that you get to the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
So you guys are on the boat. You travel. Everything's very clear. You're able to barter your way onto a boat. I understand. I don't think you'd be going first class. So, like, you'd be able to barter your way onto a boat, maybe do some help at sea.
Yeah.
And so this is the main city here. From here, you probably took something closer. At Petra, it's really not a port city, so you couldn't go straight there.
Right, right.
But they do have a canal where they do bring in imported goods.
Okay.
How long would the walk be from the port to Petra?
From the port to Petra, very short. From this port here or this here? If you were able to switch boats around in the main city and then go up to Petra, I would say the total trip altogether would probably be like 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay.
It's a long trip. Mm-hmm. And you guys know because it mentions the full moon. The way the calendar works in this thing is there's a full moon every 3 months in ours.
Okay.
So for us, so it's almost like quarters. So there's a full moon for every 3 months.
Okay.
So you know you have time to get there.
Mm. Okay.
So you get there. I'll say you get there.
Right.
It's been a journey.
Sure.
But you get there.
Cramped.
And as you arrive, you hear whisperings.
Arriving here or
arriving in Petra?
Oh, okay. We're in Petra now.
Yeah, you're in Petra now. So now you arrive in Petra. You get off the boat. And you start hearing people talking excitedly at the port, saying, oh, it's tomorrow night, it's tomorrow night.
Something's happening, okay.
And you hear that there is the Princess Serafina is in town, and she has her birthday celebration at the Opera House. And you kind of, oh, okay. And it is this huge event. It is on the full moon. It is this big, huge event at the Opera House. Serafina is going to be there. And you kind of are putting two and two together that this guy will be meeting her there.
I let him know because I have the letters. Hey, look at this.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Right, right.
So the letter is signed Sapphire.
Sapphire, Aldrich. Has to be one of the same.
Yeah.
We got to find the Opera House.
So now you have a day to find the Opera House.
What's opera?
Make a plan. That's true, right? You wouldn't know what the Opera House is. This is culture shock for you.
You're right.
Don't laugh at me. No, you're right. So, if you like people singing very loudly, what's the difference?
Okay.
So, this is culture shock for you guys. So, to explain to you, Petra is a major city that is known for its nightlife. It is known, I want you to imagine Vegas. It is, but magical lights everywhere.
Okay.
You have high society, rich people. It is unbelievably big, bustling city. You have barkers calling at you, giving you all sorts of advice. And like asking you for all sorts of things. It is a very busy city. But when you arrive at the port, you see an underbelly of this city. And then when you walk onto the high street, you see the glitz and the glamour that everyone talks about.
I have read about it in my father's library of what type of nightlife we're encountering. But I seeing it for the first time is a little...
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
It really is overwhelming. So...
What I'm going to do
you
is...
You have to find this... Yeah.
I'm a little worried. So, I'm going to climb on your shoulder.
Aww. I think I remember this from some of the stories you were reading to me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. When you first came, and I was entertaining you with Dad's books. Yep. So I'm going to climb on his shoulder, and he's intimidating looking enough.
Yes, he is.
So we're just walking, and I'll just tell him, like, I mean, I don't have a map of this, but I'm just telling him, go down the street. This looks interesting.
Yeah.
Watch out for that alley. Let's not go there, you know, just to make our way.
Yeah.
And
so you're going to find a place to hold up for the night.
Mm-hmm.
find the Opera House. You're going to take some time and take a look around. You have until tomorrow night.
Okay.
And then that's it. So this will be your session zero end, and tomorrow we'll pick up, well, no, the next day in real life.
Right. But, gotcha.
But yeah, so then you will meet with everybody at the table when you meet at the Opera House. Everyone will be there waiting for you.
Okay.
Okay?
That's cool.
So the family will sit at the table.